Good morning, everybody. 1981, and I'm sitting in Torah V'Das. Someone runs over to me in the morning and says, "Rosh Hashiva, Rav Tam Zatzal." He wasn't Zatzal then. He says, "Rosh Hashiva wants you in his office." So I run to the office. I'm figuring, you know, what did I do now? And I come in, and Rav Tam says to me, "Daniel, you got to meet this other Rosh Hashiva who's sitting there. Who is that? Rav Noach Weinberg." So Noach Weinberg in 1981 was in the office, opens up a bank book, he shows me, "Look what I did. I raised $1 million. You know what I'm going to do with this money? I'm going to create a revolution. We're going to make 100,000 Baalei Tshuva. The 100,000 Baalei Tshuva will marry each other. The beautiful Kindlech will create 1 million Shomri Shabbos Jews. Suddenly, a million Shomri Shabbos Jews, and probably Yisrael Mashiach will come the next day. I can't do it myself. I need to hire a Kiruv army." So Rav Noach Weinberg came to America in 1981, 26 years ago, canvassing all the yeshivas, Lakewood, Torah V'Das, Mir, Chaim Berlin, looking for yeshiva guys to train them in Kiruv Rechaikim. And he came to my yeshiva, and my name was submitted. Rav Noach offered me, "Come to Eretz Yisrael. Come in 2 weeks, come for the summer, we'll train you. How to debate an apikairis, and when?" So I explained to Rosh Yeshiva, he needs to get his priorities straight. And 2 weeks from now is camp. Catskills, come on, camp. Number two, I want to get smicha, you had sahers, and I was learning the hilchos shechita and treifos. Chavrusa had a whole summer. Number three, I want to start shidduchim. I'm not interested, I can't come to do this kiruv chazon thing. So we all know our shleisha dvarim, I made ha'olam, kesef, mammon, and gelt. So Noach Weinberg offered me $1,000. $1,000 he puts on the table. And the next day he writes out a check to El Al. He shows me a picture of the old apartment I'll be staying in the Alta Shtut of Yerushalayim for free that summer. So I was on the next plane. Here we are 26 years later, and all I've been doing for 26 years, besides getting married, having beautiful children, gaining a lot of weight, all I've been doing is debating apikursim. People think they're apikursim. The emphasis is I haven't met an apikursim yet. It's been a fascinating experience. Debating about 100,000 of them. I must have won every debate because I'm standing here with a yarmulke. That's a fascinating experience. Kiruv Rechaikim. 10 years ago, my life changed again radically. I'm going to talk very quickly because this is a 3-hour lecture. I'm going to try to get into 20 minutes. So 10 years ago, my life changed again radically because I'm sitting in Brooklyn, here at Klevish in Brooklyn, you know, eating a Danish, eating a Ted. And what happens? I start to receive very painful phone calls from parents. My daughter was in such and such Beis Yaakov, they had to kick her out. She ran away from home. My son's a drug addict. My son's in jail. These are former yeshiva boys. Terrible, terrible, painful phone calls. So I decided to shift the emphasis of my life from Kiruv Rechaikim to Kiruv Kroivim. And what was my idea? I said, whatever it is that we say to a non-foreign person that convinces them to become Shomer Torah Mitzvos, can you imagine? You're a secular Jew. You can do any aveira you want without guilt. And now you're getting up at 3 feet of snow and coming to a Daf Yomish here at 6 o'clock in the morning. And your wife's wearing a shaitel and then in 100 degree weather. I don't know if you're alive in England in 100 degrees. You know, you're coming to listen to Mechanic at 8:30 in the morning. What did we say to them? What did I say to all these movie stars in America who are calling us the Hadracha and life? I said, whatever it is that we say to these people, let's go into the yeshivas and into the Beis Yaakovs and teach this information. And so doing, we'll be mocking the refuah to the makkah. Right? In America, we all take flu shots. So, do a Yiddishkeit shot. So I called up all the yeshivas in America. Let me come in and talk about the Yisaydei Amunah and Tama Mahashim Apikairis and show these kindlech, not kindlech, teenagers, why we're from and how we have the MS. Not because our parents brought us up that way. You know, by accident, I was born from, therefore I'll keep Tarek Mitzvahs and Dial Kiddush Hashem. Oh, it's an accident, you know, I was born from. No, we're from because it's MS. Because Baruch Hu gave us a Torah on Har Sinai 3,319 years ago. So I decided to do this. I called up 400 schools. 395 hung up on me. Not interested. We don't need this. Five schools were interested 10 years ago. They were in America considered the left-wing modern Orthodox day schools. It's now 10 years later. We're in 260 schools. Kim'at every single yeshiva in Beis Yaakov in America and Canada and now England and South Africa. We have a skamas from Numas Gedolim, and we go in, and we do seminars on the Yisaydei Amunah. We were just recently in Beis Yaakov, Novominsk, and Ger, and Stolen, and Babov, besides all the other yeshivas, and the Beis Yaakovs, and the modern schools, and the Israeli schools, and then the Sephardi schools, and the Bukharian schools. And we go in, and we do this. And I knew that we had to do this based on anecdotal evidence, and based on a survey. The anecdotal evidence was, first of all these parents calling me, help with their children. It used to be one call a month, it went to three calls a day. And also, I was receiving numerous phone calls from former yeshiva bachurim, or girls who had learned in Beis Yaakov, and now they went out in the world and they're working in a law firm. And they'd call me up with tremendous shyness they had in Hashkafa. They'd come to my office, and they'd ask me all types of questions. Basic questions on Emunah, on Bitachon, on Tfila, on Bechira. Basic information that, for whatever reason, they never picked up in school. So that was one raya that I had to go in and do this type of new, revolutionary type of approach to teaching Yahadis to kids. Second of all, I gave out a survey. And in that survey, I asked them, I told them to answer me anonymously. I don't, you know, they shouldn't write their name or the name of the school on the sheet. You know, you don't want to stare the shidduch. They should write to me, if you had the chance to ask a rabbi one question, what's their number one question? And Kimat 100% wrote, I asked 2,000 Beis Yaakov girls, 500 yeshiva boys. Kimat 100% wrote, how do we know we're right? How do we know we're right? So that's how I knew it's important and it's necessary for us to go into the yeshivas and do this type of information. Not that the yeshivas are doing a bad job. The yeshivas are wonderful. The yeshiva system is wonderful. The growth of the yeshiva and chinuch system in the world is both qualitatively and quantitatively is unprecedented. I was in Lakewood 3 weeks ago. I hadn't been to Lakewood in many years. I mean, I was there, but I hadn't been to the base medrash in many, many years. And I was there at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I saw with my own eyes, I saw 3,000 men, 3,000 mamish learning. No one was standing outside smoking or drinking coffee. Mamish learning. It was unbelievable. So Baruch Hashem, the system is wonderful. On the other hand, we always need to grow and enhance what we're doing. Our children are not going to go out there in the world and meet Muslims who also claim to have a Messiah and die for it. They're not going to meet Christians. They're not going to meet non-frum Jews who are very nice, very kind, very sweet, and fun. Who don't, you know, block the driveway to run into a bris. So I'm just going there for 3 seconds, you know. Or don't triple park. We have a problem on Borough Park, 30th Avenue. They don't double park, they triple park. Huh? Yeah. So they're not, our children at some point grow up, they're not going to go out there and meet non-from people who are very sweet, very spiritual. Of course they are. And therefore we have to equip our children that even though they go through yeshiva and they learn Torah, they have to also be able to explain to themselves and to others why are they from and why we have the emes. It's not like 50 years ago when you saw the Chabad Chaim in the street, 100 years ago, you don't see Moshe Feinstein in the street or Rabbi Aaron Cutler in the street. It's a different world. And the Sultan today, when I was growing up, the Sultan had conventional weapons. He had a bullet, a rifle. The Sultan today has nuclear weapons. And even though everybody's sitting in this room, we're all grown men, and we're worldly, we think we're worldly, until you're sitting where I sit, you have no idea what's going on out there. It is so bad, it is so gefährlich. And if we're going to send our kids out there where the Sultan has nuclear weapons, that they're from because, you know, yesterday I was from, so today I'm from, okay, I'll do this, I'm from. No. They have to know. They have to know why they're from. We have the MS, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah 3,319 years ago. And they have to be able that if they're sitting on an airplane and some non-from Israeli sits down next to them and says to them, well, why are you doing all this? They have to be able to say, why? Because I'm right and you're wrong. That's why. And you know how I know I'm right? Because I have a Messiah going back to 3 million of my Bubbies and Zadies on Har Sinai who passed it down to a Pesach Seder, to a Sukkah, to a Mezuzah, and Tefillin, Zechli, Tzias, and Tzrayim. That's what we have to teach our kids. And it's very... We have to be, you know, in American sports, you know, the concept, I'm sure here too, sports. The best defense is what? Good offense. What does that mean? But shot. If you're on the field scoring points, the other team is busy defending themselves, they can't score points. We have to be on offense. The way to be on offense is to give our kids the answers to the major hashkafa questions that they have. Now, we have to point out to our kids that they can't be intimidated by people who are walking around, I'm not from, I'm a kaifer, I'm this, and I'm that. Never be intimidated. There's many ways to do that, and that's what I've been doing here. I'm in a total shift from Eishet Torah, is taking me around the entire country here, speaking to all the yeshivas and the Beis Yaakovs, and showing them, and being mechazik them, and empowering them, showing them, hey, don't be intimidated. And there are many ways that I do this, and again, I need hours for this. I only have a few minutes. You know, I tell the kids in my side, I was in Washington, D.C. I was in Washington, D.C. This is 7-8 years ago. Eishet Torah put together a Kiruv class. It was for non-religious, non-from secular Jews who were very high-powered people in Washington, judges and lawyers, very intellectuals. They each paid $1,000 to come hear this lecture. What was the name of my lecture? I think it was, Did God Speak on Sinai? That was the name of the lecture. I had 50 people there, very intelligent people. I was going to speak for an hour and 20 minutes. 20 minutes into the presentation, I'm doing my whole thing, the Kuzari and the Ramban and the Maharal, and showing them in the Torah that we have. A man gets up, he starts to walk out. He takes his raincoat, he puts it over his arm, and he starts to walk out. So when I saw he's carrying his raincoat, I knew that he wasn't coming back. So I did something that I don't think I ever did before. It was very smug. The guy's walking out in the middle. He paid $1,000. He was only there for 10, 20 minutes. So in front of everybody, I said, excuse me, sir, I don't mean to embarrass you. I'm just curious. Why are you leaving? And the man turned to everyone and he said, Rabbi, you're making a lot of sense, and I don't want to change my life. I found out later he was married to a Japanese woman. He was intermarried. You tell it over to kids. You have to be Madama Milsa La Milsa. If one guy could say that, maybe there are 1 million people out there who are running around, they could have PhDs, I'm not precarious, I'm not firm, I don't do this. But in reality, they just don't want to change their life. That's what's really going on. You know the famous Maestro, Rav Chaim Brisker. Some say it was Rav Chaim Volozhin, but it wasn't. It was Rav Chaim Brisker. I did some research. It was definitely Rav Chaim Brisker, his Maestro. Where he was in Varsha, and on Shabbos Kodesh, he notices two of his former Talmidim, and they're smoking on Shabbos. So he runs over to Rav Chaim, runs over to him, Shabbos Kodesh, what happened? What happened to you? You were in my yeshiva, Machil Shabbos. So the two, they were, Bach, I don't know if they were married, but they were young men, they said very arrogantly, Rebbe, we have serious hashkafa questions. And if Rebbe, if you can answer our questions, we'll do tshuva and we'll be from again. So only Rav Brisker could say this is Kabbalah. So Rav Chaim says, let me ask you something. When did your questions begin? Before you were Mechal Shabbos? Or after you were Mechal Shabbos, you suddenly had all these questions. So what did they answer? After I was Mechal Shabbos. If you were Mechal Shabbos, then we suddenly had a lot of kashas. He goes, so you don't have kashas. They're teirutim. Their justifications. And then he said, and I can't be metaret to teretz. He says, you don't have kashas. You have a yitzahara, whatever it is, you went up to derech. And then he felt bad about it, so he came up, there was a Holocaust. Well, by then it wasn't a Holocaust yet, but he came up with all these hashkafa questions. They're not questions. He wanted to make yourself feel good. He wanted to justify it. And I can't be metaret to teretz. And that's what I tell kids also. They're very intimidated. Kids are intimidated by other kids or other adults who are not from, who are acting, in an arrogant way. Don't be intimidated. We have an expression, call their bluff. Call their bluff. I was once giving a seminar in Manhattan, Eishet Torah seminar and a Rechim seminar where we show evidence and haychachos for Maimon Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at the end of the seminar, this is an 8-hour day where we showed all this evidence to the truth of the Torah. A professor walks over to me with a goatee, and the professor says to me, Shalom Rabbi, that was a very interesting day, very interesting presentation on the Torah. But I got to tell you something, I'm an atheist. So I looked at him and I said, I'm a bird. I'm a chair. I could say words too. And I asked him some questions and it came out, this man never thought about anything. You think he sat down and thought, what's a tachos achayim? Why are we here? What is good? What is bad? He's kulo taiva. He's sticking cards and steak and food and sports and clothes. It's not the 60s and the 70s when we grew up where the whole world was questioning and thinking. Unfortunately, most of them got it wrong. Today, no one's not questioning that, thinking it's cool of Haile. Now, kids have to understand this. And never be intimidated by the so-called mantra or the kaifer or this or that. All this man did is he moved his vocal cords and said, I'm an atheist. So I could say words too. I'm a bird. Never be intimidated. You have to go on offense. You have to be on offense. Very, very important. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch says something gewaltig. The Sefer HaChinuch, it's mitzvah. You all know the Sefer HaChinuch was written to explain all the mitzvahs. And in his Hagdama, he writes why he's writing the Sefer. Because the Na'arim, the children, have to understand the Tamei mitzvahs. So there's an unusual, very unusual mitzvah. Mitzvah Kuf Yud Zayin. Shaloi lahakir se'or o'yidavash. Not to be makir se'or o'yidavash on the Mizbeach. Very unusual mitzvah. So he says the Chinuch, Sharshei mitzvah zu ne'lamim ma'od. I cannot find a reason for this mitzvah. And then he says, Afilu remez katan. Even a small reason. I have no idea what is the time of this mitzvah. But says the Chinuch, now listen, this is written before internet. This is written before movies and internet and videos and before the Sultan had nuclear weapons or any weapons. They had little nothing. Little darts. Says the Chinuch, hundreds of years ago, 900 years ago. He says, even though I cannot find a reason for this mitzvah, we have to come up with one. We have to try. Because if we don't tell our Na'arim, our children, Ki yesh l'divrei ha-tayra ta'amim v'say'olos, if we don't show our children that Torah and mitzvahs, there are reasons, there are benefits, if we don't show them and explain to them why they're from, then what will happen is they will accept the mitzvahs by hergo, the stam, because that's the way I was brought up, and we can't do that, because if we do that, yivatu bahem, they'll kick away Torah mitzvahs in their benarusam, v'yanichum le'olam v'yelchu lehevel, they'll go out to hevel havalam, if we don't explain to our children why we keep Torah mitzvahs, and why we're from, and explain things to them. This is written 900 years ago. Our kids are going to go off the derech. So it's very, very crucial that we do this. Very, very crucial. I think we have to change the wording. It's more, you know, those who are in chinuch, whether it's parents, anyone sitting here, if you're a parent, you're a principal, you're a teacher, a rav, we have to, no longer should we be mechanchim. It's more important that we should be mashpiyim. What is the difference? A mechanch means, when I educate someone, means, you know this Rashi or this Ramban because I want you to know it. That's a mechanch. A mashpi, on the other hand, is you do something because I want you to do it. You do this mitzvah, you act this way because I want you to do it. And we're living in a dar where we have to be much more important to be mashpiyim than mechanchim. We have to be mashpia on our children and on our students and show them the beauty and the truth of Torah. And the way to do that, there are many ways. Besides, you know, having a wonderful home that you bring them up in and a happy home, there are times at the Shabbos table, at the Pesach table, these are the times when we can give over the Masorah. It has to be done in a way where our children love to come to the Shabbos table. They love to come to the Seder. And the way to do that is to prepare. Everything is hakana. You have to prepare. And that's the men's job. Our children, you have little children, they don't want to hear, you know, a mikhtar Eliyahu. They want to hear a beautiful, nice story about Gedolim, about Tzadikim. You have to prepare. I have a rule. I tell people, we have a lot of time where we discipline our children. Shabbos table, there should never be no yelling, no fighting, no matter what, whether they're sticking their fingers in a pickle, whether they're spilling the grape juice, whatever they're doing, no yelling, no fighting, buzz them up. That's the Shabbos table. We have to be mashpiyim, not mechanchim. Second, we have to be salesmen, not policemen. What's the difference? What's the difference between a salesman and a policeman? A policeman is, you better do this, or else. You better daven, or else. You better dress this way, or else. That's a policeman. A salesman is, let me show you why it's good for you to do this or not do this. A salesman tries to figure out how the customer will want to buy the product. And how should I package the product? And what will cause them to want to buy it? I'll give you an example. You know, I was speaking in a well-known Beis Yaakov in Brooklyn. All the Gedolim and the Rosh Yeshivas in New York, that's where they send their daughters and granddaughters to this Beis Yaakov. And I was speaking there for 3 hours. I gave a 3-hour seminar on Yisoidei Emuna, Maimon Har Sinai, etc. At the end of the program, 3 hours the girl sat there. After it was over, Tanakha, 45 minutes, half of them stayed around and asked me questions on Bitachon and Emuna and Bechira. They had a lot of questions. And then after everybody left, there was one neighbor who stayed back, 12th grade girl, 17 years old, and everybody left the room. She comes over to me and she's crying, sobbing. I said, "What's wrong? What happened? Calm down." And she finally says to me, "I'm a Machalal Shabbos." I said, and she's crying, mom is gut-wrenching crying. So I finally calmed her down. I said, "What's your name?" She tells me her name, it's not her name, but she says, "Chana." So I said, "Chana lo, gotta give the lo. What's wrong? Oh, Shabbos, what do you do?" So she tells me she puts makeup on Shabbos. She puts makeup on. I said, "Amen, it's not so precious that you're Machal Shabbos with makeup. It depends what. What do you do?" So she told me what she does, and she's Taka Machal Shabbos. So what do you do? How would a policeman handle that? A policeman would say, "You're Mechal Shabbos? Shame on you. Do you know who your father is? Do you know what you're doing to the Shidduchim of your brothers? You're in the Beis Yaakov for 12 years and you put lipstick on Shabbos Kodesh? Feh!" That's one approach. A salesman's approach, here's what I did. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You tell me. I said, "So tell me, how are you doing with the other Lamed Ches Malachos? The other Lama Cheslach, how's the bowler going? How are you getting out those watermelon pits?" You tied anything yesterday? Oh, good. You cook? Oh, you didn't cook? Very good. You carry? Oh, you didn't carry? Very good. So 38 malachas, you're doing good. So you're having a problem with one malacha. So I became a big London somebody. I said, See, she saw herself, you know, she's a Machal Shabbos like these Reformed Jews who drive on Shabbos, you know? I said to her, "You're not a Machal Shabbos. You're a wonderful Bas Yisrael, a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you. You're wonderful. Yes, you are doing a Maisechil Shabbos. True. But you're not a Machal Shabbos. Here's what I want you to do. Next Shabbos, that's between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever happens. The following Shabbos, it's between you and me. You are not, you're going to stay home. You're not going to go out. You're not going to do this again, no matter what. The following Shabbos, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fourth Shabbos, between you and me. You will not do this." And that's what I want you to do. One Shabbos La Hashem, one Shabbos Eli. And in Mirta Hashem, you will overcome the Yetzer Hara. And if you do not overcome the Yetzer Hara, and you continue to do this, Hashem loves you. You're a wonderful Bas Yisrael. I made a joke. You're going to marry some Lakewood guy. You have 10 kids and 7 kids. It'll be 20 years. She's laughing. She's crying. Okay, that's the mindset. Zeigerman. 3 years later, I get the proverbial "you saved my life" card. Still have that card, second drawer, in the folder all the way in the back of my office. It's right there, a mechanic. "I was a girl, you remember me, you spoke to me, and I thank you so much, you saved my life because you didn't judge me." And I had a little boy this week, and we made a bris. So I was hoping she would name the kid after me. And the whole thing, right, you know. So I believe that's the approach. If we salesmen, not policemen. Kids have a tremendous gift to her for Deutsche music. Some kids, in New York, Flatbush, oh boy, have a tremendous gift to her. It's a normal zach, have a gift to her, Deutsche music. The music, Leia Lane was not like when we were growing up, or even then, Deutsche music was a bissel normal. Today it's gefährlich. So what are you going to do? What are you going to tell the kid? You listen to that type of music? That's humor, fair. You know what does to your neshama? As if they're going to say, "Wow, I didn't think of that. You're right. I'm going to stop now." Wouldn't it be better to be a salesman and say, "You know, it's not good for you. It's not that it's usher and it's tumma, which it is, but you have to be effective, not right. Cloud level in life, in marriage, in everything. Don't be right, be effective. What's your goal? I want the girl or the boy to stop listening to this. It's not good for them." So even though I'm right by telling them usher shagit, I'm right. But they're not going to change if I tell them that. So the right way is, it's not good for you. What do you want written on your matzeva? You ask them. What do you want written on your matzeva? Whatever it is you want written on your matzeva, work backwards. You want to say Talmud Chacham? Well, how are you going to get to that? By listening to this music? You want to say a tenua about Yisrael, about Os Chesed? You're not going to get that if you're listening to this type of stuff and what it does to your neshama and the type of person it makes you. It's not good for you. That's, I think that that's a much, much better approach that we should use. Being a salesman, not a policeman. We have to give over to our kindleach that we have the emes. That we have a Torah emes and a Torah chayim. Torah emes means two things. That's what we have to teach them. One, we're right, the whole world is wrong. We're right, and the whole world is wrong. Two, we have a Torah chayim. Torah chayim, what does Torah mean? It means instructions. Instructions for living. We have the manual. We have the Torah that tells us how to live our life. We have the Pirkei Avos. We have Tzaddikim. We have Rishayim. And Tzaddikim will show us how to live a life. And this is what we have to give over to our children. We have to demonstrate this to them. We have to show them what the visit to Rebbe. I went there from the visit to Rebbe. It was 1977. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. The visit to Rebbe in Bnei Brak. After a tish, I stayed till the end of the tish. And then 15 chassidim were walking the Rebbe home, and I somehow got in there. In the middle of Bnei Brak, the Rebbe stops and he says, he looks up, he goes, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Le'olam Haba. Every Jew has a Chelik in Olam Haba. Frum and Fry. Every Yid has a chelik, some Chelik in Olam Haba. Frum and Fry. He said, Abra Olam Hazeh. No, the Frum Yidin. Only the Frum Yidin at Olam Hazeh. If we give over our children that concept, they'll go on the derech, they'll remain on the derech, they'll love Yiddishkeit. And we have to give that over, that we have Olam Hazeh. I tell the kids, you know, in my Kiruv HaChaikim work with Eish HaTorah, it takes us all over the world, and, you know, the most famous people I've met in my life are these Hollywood movie stars. These Farshtunkana Hollywood movie stars. The most famous ones in the world. That L'chaira, everybody in this room perhaps may know their names. They're mamish the most famous ones in the world. And me, the Targadas Yeshiva guy, I got to meet these people, some of them I meet on an ongoing basis. So even though I've been Taira my whole life is, Chavetz Chaim, Reb Akiva Eiger, Reb Chaim Brisker, even though, when you meet these people, for the first 5 minutes that you're in a room with them, you mamish can't breathe. You're starstruck. However, by the seventh minute, you realize, wait a minute, they also sat down on a bed this morning and bent down and pulled up their socks, just like us. They also, you know, when they have a ready nose, they hold a tissue, just like us. And by the tenth minute, you realize, as we say in New York, they're such nebs. Nebuchadnezzar. They have no idea who they are, they have no idea why they are, they have no idea what the Tafas HaChaim is. Nothing. Mechanic, us, with our chont, and our Shabbos Kodesh, and our Pesach Seder, and our Sukkah, and our Yiddishkeit, we have a million times more Olam Hazeh than them. Olam Hazeh. We know why we're here. They have no idea. After they've done every aveira in the world, then it's like, okay, now what? Now what? One of the most famous stars in the world once told me, he was 79 years old, he almost got killed in a helicopter accident, and then he realized, no, you know, I've done it. He said to me, Rabbi, I did a lot of sins, Rabbi. And then I said to myself, I almost died. I'm going to die one day. So what's the purpose of life? He said, since I'm Jewish, I figure I'll look at the Jewish religion first. And that's how he got to us. He's a person married to a non-Jewish woman. So this is what we have to teach our kids. We have a Teres Emes, and we have a Teres Chayim. And we give that over to them. I want to conclude, right? 9 o'clock we finish? Mm-hmm. I'll conclude. Take me 30 seconds. There's a story. I heard this from a big mashgiach in America. Mashgiach in Israel in Baltimore. He tells over a story how there was once an island, and on this island there were some women who had beautiful voices, and they would stand on the shore of the island and they would sing. And all the sailors that were on the boats, ships passing by, because it was a route where, you know, it was a business route where that's where all the ships went to sell their goods to other countries. And they would hear this music coming from the island, and it was so beautiful they couldn't help it. They would turn the ships towards the island to go hear it. They were drawn to the island. But there were treacherous rocks there. And every boat was destroyed, and every sailor on all the boats were killed. And this happened to Seder day after day after day. Hundreds and hundreds of sailors were getting killed. Finally, all the captains got together and said, what are we going to do? We have to do something. They came up with three aces. Ace number one is to put beeswax in the ears of all these sailors. But that doesn't work. It doesn't completely shut out the singing of these women. The beeswax falls out. The second idea was, tie the hands of the helmsman, the one who steers the ship. Don't let him steer the ship towards the island. The problem is he could get out of the ropes, and it doesn't always work. The third idea is, every time we get on the ship and we go towards another country, bring onto the ship people who could sing beautiful music, so they won't be drawn towards the island because they'll have it right there on the ship. What's the nimshal? The Sultan has nuclear weapons. Bees wax in our children's ears. Maybe that worked 50 years ago. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. The most sheltered communities in America, the most sheltered, the site of the community is to be sheltered. Oy, what's going on there? Oy, gewalt, how the Sultan has penetrated the walls. So it's not going to work. Bees wax. It's not going to work. Bees wax in the ears. To tell the kids that to force them and tie them, you can't go to the street, you can't go here, you can't go there, it doesn't work anymore. There's only one way. We have to create beautiful music in our own homes, in our own shuls, in our own homes, and in our own schools, where the children will love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and love Klal Yisrael and love Tiras Yisrael. And then we daven a lot and mazel, and we'll be assured that our kinderlech will grow up loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Tiras. Have a good day.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.